We're up to Perek Chaf Vav, Pasik Yud Aleph. Hashem Roma Yodcha, lift up your hand. Bal Yechezoyun, let them not see it. And then the Pasik appears to contradict itself and says, Yechezu, let them see, V'yevoshu, and be embarrassed, Kinas Om, the jealousy of the nation. We'll explain what that means in one moment. Af eish tzarecha, the fire of your enemies, tochle meid, consume them. Now what does this pasuk mean? So there's a Rashi that rejects what I'm about to tell you. Rashi quotes a long medrash, and Rashi says the medrash doesn't really fit with the pshutishal mikra. But yeah, it's a very long medrash. I have it here in my sefer. This sefer is the Oitzah HaMidrashim. It has a collection of many, not all, but many midrashim. So let me just begin to read, and then I'll stop in the middle. But the medrash begins as follows. This medrash that I'm reading from is from Batei Midrash Chelek Beis. Medrash, you know that?
Yeah.
Medrash Osiel Shabbi Akiva HaShalem Nusach Aleph Oischof. Okay, two obscure midrashim. These are not the run-of-the-mill. Yeah. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Okay, so let me read you the Medrash, just a snippet of the Medrash. The Medrash begins by saying, "What does this pasuk mean?" So the Medrash jumps in. Besudasin shel tzadikim la'olam haba. This Medrash refers to the suuda of the tzadikim in olam haba. The tzadikim are in olam haba. They're enjoying a lavish feast. What does this mean? Is it a feast of real food, or is it spiritual delights? We do not know. The Oymeid Umir HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mirakeid Lifneim Basuuda. Can you imagine what this means? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets up and he dances. Ever hear such a thing before in your life? Hashem is dancing. He is entertaining the tzaddikim by dancing in front of them. That's what it says. Yes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the chasam with the kal. Hashem is the chasam. But the kal. Okay, all right. That's interesting. That's an interesting idea that Klaus is the kal. Hashem is miraculous. Okay, but here, okay, all it says here is a feast. And Hashem is dancing. The al osa shad. Who is at this feast? The whole klal. The tzaddikim are there. And among the tzaddikim, who else is present? Yeshayahu. Yeshay is at this party. And Yeshaya says to Hashem, Yeshaya says, Hashem, remo yodcha, lift up your hand. The Medrash asks, Umahu remo yodcha, Elo, what it means, Malamech, Os, Yeshaya, Loimah, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bisudas, and Shal Tzadikim, Shereganedin, Ganedin, Meshosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Oimed, Meraki, Lefnei HaTzadikim, Riboin, Shel, Ha'olam, remo yodcha, Baal, Yechezoyun. What does that mean? Now the Medrash finally explains, Baal Yavohu Rishohim Biyu B'Toivosim Shel Tzadikim. Don't let the Rishohim peek inside the banquet hall and see what's going on. It's a given the Rishohim are not going to attend. They're not allowed entry. That's a given. But are they allowed to peek from the windows and see what's going on? Yeah.
There's another Midrash that talks about that the Rishoyim will be forced to look and not be able to partake.
Okay, that parallels this in a Hanami. But here they're outside, and Yeshayi says, I don't even want the Rishoyim to see. Now we have to, let me just give you an overview for the Medrash. There is a trade-off. On the one hand, if the Rishoyim will see what's going on, that itself will be Gehenim for the Rishoyim, to see how the Tzadikim are rewarded, and the delights that they receive in Olam Haba, and they are receiving nothing, that itself is a punishment for the Rishoyim. Right. But on the other hand, if the Rishoyim see, there is some degree of enjoyment. They see, like, someone, if you go, if you ever pass a fancy wedding hall, and you see, you peek inside.
They might be tempted to repent?
No, it's too late. There's no repentance at this point in time, but it's just something which is interesting. I mean, we've all been Eretz Yisrael, to show you pass by, you're a tourist, you're traveling somewhere, or even in Williamsburg, and you peek inside and you see something. It's interesting. It's delightful. you're not a guest, you're not a participant, but you know, it's an escape from the world of reality for a few minutes to watch this interesting thing. So on the one hand, it's a minor delight for the Rishon. No delight at all.
No, because what it does is it shows that Hashem's promise has been fulfilled, and look what they wasted their time on.
That also, it's both true. That's
that Schadenfreude aspect.
Exactly. You have both. That's the problem. You can't separate one from the other. On the one hand, if they will witness what is occurring, they will be filled with shame. It will be the ultimate Gehenna. But there is a little bit of delight that they enjoy when they see what happens. So the question is, what is better? What is the lesser of the evils? Or what is this is the debate that's now about to take place between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yeshaya. Yeshaya says, the Rishon, they are so wicked, they caused Bnei Yisrael so much pain, I do not want them to know from anything. Let them just go to Gehenna and keep them away. They should not be able to peek and see the reward HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving the Tzadikim in Olam Haba. Hashem says, I disagree. It is my opinion that they should see what's going on, and that itself will serve as a Gehenim for the Rishon. And this was a debate that was taking place at this feast for the Tzadikim Olam Haba. So Yishai says, "Bal Divo Rishon Yud V'Tovei Shlatzadikim." Meishak L'Shbarach Hashem says, "No, V'Yomer Yishai Bini, I disagree with you. Loichein Elo Yavohu Rishon V'Yiru B'Tovasam V'Uvisimchasam V'Yil B'Shubusha." And they will be dressed with shame. V'yatu klima, and they will, another expression of shame and disgrace. Zeh Masha Amar, and that's what Hashem's, the next words of the pasuk is, that's what, go back to the pasuk Yalf, Hashem responds, no, I disagree. Yechazu v'yevo, should let them see, let them be embarrassed. Kinas of the kinas means the jealousy of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is jealous for his nation, and Hashem takes revenge. Hashem is jealous that his nation has suffered, and Hashem comes to avenge their disgrace and gives them great reward. Meishav Yeshaya v'oymer lefonav, I disagree with you, Hashem. Riboyne shaloylam lo yavahu v'lo yiru, I disagree. So, Oymir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mi machriya b'neinu? This is the debate we're arguing. Who's going to decide? Who's going to be the judge between me and Yeshaya? So, b'neinu shnasek dvaru meishav Yeshaya v'oymer. So Yeshaya says, Riboyne shaloylam, tavo kineses Yisrael. Let Klal Yisrael decide. V'sachriya b'neinu, v'nasek kidvorech, and whatever they say, we'll do. Miyod koriya HaKadosh Baruch Hu le Lim Tatroin Sar Haponim. Hashem calls the angel, an angel which represents the advocate for Klal Yisrael. V'oymelo Avdi Lech V'Havi Liyas Knesho. Go and bring me this minister. Bring me Klal Yisrael. Kedei Shetachri B'Neinu, that he Klal Yisrael should decide between us. V'yod Holech Mitatroin Umevi As Knesset Yisrael Lufnei Klal Shparuchu Lufnei Yishaya V'Kevin Shroi Knesset Yisrael Klal Shparuchu Amer Slofan V'Yibodeh Shloel Amelom Akaras L'Wan. You call me Neish V'Klal Shparuchu V'Yemelo Biti Mibne. What do you have to say? And Mishiva Klal Yisrael Yavohu V'Yiru V'Yivoshu. Klal Yisrael sided with Hashem against Yeshaya, even though Yeshaya suffered so much for Klal Yisrael. They sided with the opposition. With good morning. I sided with Klal Yisrael. Okay, so Meishiv. Let me find the place again. So Yovav Yerushanema V'Sera, and this he quotes a pasuk from Micha. Meishiv Knes Shel V'Ameris Yovohu V'Yiru V'Yivosh Shnemar V'Sera Oyavti U'Sechaseha V'Usha. It's a pasuk in Micha. So we're connecting this pasuk here, this perek in Yeshaya, perek Chavav, with a pasuk in Micha, in perek Zayin. And at that point in time, okay, I'll leave the rest out, but then this message goes on, and basically goes on to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed the Rishon to come and see what's taking place, and they were filled with shame, and they just melted away in the shame.
I didn't want to say it, but I'm thinking they're not too religious. Something they brought a lady arbitrator.
They did what?
They brought a female arbitrator.
Knesset Yisrael. Okay. We all know the story with Gan Eden, where an Olam Haba, where they come. What's on the menu? And they show the menu. Who is the caterer? Moshe Rabbeinu is the caterer. Oh, very good, not bad. He's an Ish Neman. Called Beis Neman. Who's the Mashkiach? The Ribbono Shel Olam. I'll take a salad. I'll take a salad.
No, the line actually goes, why do they have to serve both meat and fish? Because not everybody trusts that.
Okay, that's, I heard like that. Moshe is the caterer, the verse is the Mashkiach, and I'll take, I'll get it. Okay, let's go further. So now let's go back to the pasuk. The pasuk says Hashem. So now we understand the pasuk according to the Midrash. Hashem, Ramo Yadcha, lift up your hand to punish the evildoers. Bal Yechezoyun, and may they not see the reward of the tzaddikim. Hashem responds, I disagree with you, Yishai. Yechezu, let them see the Yevoshu and be ashamed of Kinas Am. Now let's read. Let Kinas over here means, literally means jealousy, but it means revenge. Over here, the Mitzvah translates jealousy and revenge are one and the same many, many, many times. It means the come of the revenge. Let's look at the Mitzvah Stavit, how he translates Kinas Am. Yechezu, in Pasuk Yid Aleph, Lechein Yeru Teshuas Yisrael, the salvation, the Yevoshu Oz Beroisam HaKina. The jealousy or the revenge, sheyekane Hashem la'amo, that Hashem will avenge His nation. Ki oz lo yuchlu lachshav shabab b'mikra, they cannot. The wicked. Mitzvah learns a pasuk of Hipshuto that we're talking about not olam haba. Again, I told you the medrash. Rashi also appears to reject this medrash. But if Hipshuto shel mikra, we're discussing events, world events that will occur at the time of Mashiach, and it will be so obvious to all. It's the Yad Hashem, time of Purim. Were there people who denied these events? I don't know, maybe they were. Maybe people just said it was a coincidence. Klal Yisrael understood that it was the Hashgacha Pradis, was the Yad Hashem. But the events that will take place at this point in time will be so obvious, no one will have the right, will dare say that it was a coincidence, will be clear that it's the Yad Hashem. Hashem is avenging is taking revenge for the suffering that the nations have brought upon the people. So they will now see and they will be ashamed of the kinas am, of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing to take revenge for His people. And af esh tzarecha teichleim, the fire of tzarecha against your enemy. Let's look at the Mitzudas of David. Af esh ratz lemer, af yiru mishpat nikmascha, they will see the judgment of your revenge. Af esh teichel tzarecha, the fire will consume your enemies. Vehem hatsarim li Yisrael uchi'ilu tsaru l'makom et zif, they have caused sar to Hashem. So the survivors will see the esh, the fire, that sarecha teichleim, that will consume your enemies. The enemies of Klal Yisrael, which are the enemies of Kadosh Baruch Hu, the survivors will see this fire and destruction, and they will be ashamed when they realize the MS and how they have been living in a world of denial since the beginning of time. Pasuk Yud Beis. Hashem. Yes, pretty much. Yes, pretty much. Okay, it's a hard Rashi. I don't know how to... I tried to study, but I couldn't really get a feel for it. When I don't have time, unfortunately, that's the first thing. The Rashis are hard. Not some of them are easy, but some of them, to really understand the depth of Rashi and the grammar, I don't always grasp. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yudbeis, Hashem Tishbos Shalom Lanu. May Hashem set a pot of peace for us. There's a famous medrash. There are three forms of peace. There are three forms of peace: the river, the bird, and the pot. So, medrash, what is the significance? Three. There, may your peace flow like the river. May your peace be like. There's different psukim in Tanakh. I don't know the psukim, but this is the pasuk that refers to the pot. The pot is a reference to peace. Why is a pot peace? Because fire and water are two opposites. Fire and water do not mix. The fire will leave, the water will extinguish the fire. If there's too much fire, the fire will, one of them will prevail and wipe out the other. A lot of fire will cause the water to evaporate. Too much water, more water than fire, will extinguish the fire. A pot, a metal pot, brings peace. In between the fire and the water, there's a metal pot. It's okay. No, I'll take it.
Let's just do the chair. Hello.
Front door is locked.
No, I'm going to unlock the front door.
Thank you.
A pot brings peace, right? Isn't that what a pot does? It brings peace between fire and water. Tishbos is a term that is reserved for arranging a pot. It means to arrange, but in the context of arranging a pot over the fire and upon the range, upon the wood. This is what the word shalom. Look at the mitzudas sion tishbos inyan aricha, arrangement v'sidur. Two words which mean arrangement. Kimo shifos hasir, to set. The seer is the pot. Okay, so in this context, it means Hashem tishbos shalom lomei Hashem, may He arrange peace for us. Ki gam kol maaseinu pa'al tolanu, because all of everything that has happened in this world, you have done. Let's see the Mitzudos Pasuk Yudbeis. Hashem Tishbos, Rotzolomar, Ato Hashem, Taroch Lanu Shalom, you shall arrange for us peace, Ki Gam Kol Hamasim, Haboim Oleinu, all of the things which have come upon us, Bein Tov, Bein Ro, whether good or bad, Halo, Hakol, Atem, Pa'alto, Lanu, everything that has happened to us in history, you have brought about. V'loi bohu b'miku, nothing comes through coincidence. V'im kein hoil v'akol b'yotcha aroch lanu shlomifu, since everything is in your power, we beg for you to arrange for us peace. Now this is not obviously the ideal peace. Now let me just give you a little background. We know that we have the word Pinchas. Nasati es b'risi shalom. It's a vav katua. The vav is cut. Al pi halacha, it has to be cut after the majority, because in order for it to be, if it's cut too high up, then it's al pi halacha a yud, and then it's not a kosher sefer Torah. So it has to be cut already like 75% down the vav, that it can no longer be confused with a yud. Otherwise, because al pi halacha, the sefer Torah is supposed to have a vav, shalom with a vav. If you have a vav in the sefer Torah that's not all the way down to the bottom, it's okay, provided that you would not confuse it with a yud. If you're not sure, you'd have to ask a tina, a child, to ask him, is this a yud or a vav? So if the vav is cut too short, it's a yud. If it's cut further down, then it's a vav. Why is the vav cut? What's the significance? So the answer is there are two types of peace. And the Sefer Torah, the next time.
It's not a complete vav.
Some have the diagonal. The old Sefer Torah have the diagonal. For some reason today they don't do it. I didn't see the new Sefer Torah the diagonals. The old Sefer Torah I saw the diagonals. Okay, you have in the letter vav in Parashas Pinchas. The big Parashas Pinchas. Nasati es brisi. I gave to Pinchas my bris of shalom, peace. The vav in the Sefer Torah does not go all the way down to the bottom. There's a cut. The answer is because there are two types of peace. There is peace shalom mitavav and shalom without avav. When the cut means erase this letter. When you erase the letter, it's shalem.
Complete.
So there are two types of peace. There's a peace where we're one and the same. Whatever affects you, we are so in love with each other, we're all the same. Shalem. But then, let's say you mix two ingredients. Let's say you have instant coffee into your hot water. It's a chemical change, a chemical reaction, where it's just one mixture of liquid, which you cannot differentiate the coffee from the water. Or, I'm sure there are better examples, there's a chemical reaction where it's one mixture. Then there is something called shalom. We were two opposites. We don't get along. We have nothing in common. And really, we should kill each other because we are. But we are willing to get along with each other. We'll overcome our differences and we'll live civilly. We'll live in peace. I hate you and you hate me. Chas v'shalom. But we're different. But I'm going to live in peace. That's called coexist. Two separate things. They don't have it in the. You have to look in the Tikkun. Two separate. That's shalom with a vav. This type of peace, a path, is shalom with a vav, because water and fire cannot come together. There's no such thing as water and fire mixing together. The best you can do is you can make peace between water and fire by separating them with a sheet of metal. You take water, put it in a pot, fire underneath. The fire does its thing, the water does its thing, and together they coexist. That is shalom with a vav, not shalom shalem. Very big difference. So what's very interesting is that here we are, the time of Mashiach, there's not going to be shalem. Don't think we're going to be with the world that we're expecting everything to be, that we're all going to be buddy-buddy with the world. We're asking Hashem to tishkosh shalom lanu. We recognize there are differences between us. At the time of Mashiach, there will be many nations. Every nation has their role. And we're different. And we have to keep our distance. The best we can ask for is the type of peace that is shalom, not the type of peace that is shalem. I'll tell you a gvalde gvart from I think it's from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. This is a powerful, powerful part. My father used to love this part. We have
Monday.
And let's say
this week, Monday, they'll be open.
Okay, where do they have it though?
Go down the alley.
And the Sefer Torah they had the word shalom in the Sefer Torah, and the vav. The vav of shalom was complete. The vav of, I think that's how the var went. The vav of shalom was not kotua. The vav is supposed to be cut down in the middle or whatever, and it wasn't cut. And it's not pi halacha. So they went to the sofer, they went to the rav, and the rav said, it's not correct. You have to have someone come along and cut the vav to follow tradition. So they went to the sofer. The sofer says, yeah, I know you're right, but you know, when you learn safras, One thing you learn over and over again is that the shame Hashem, you don't erase the shame Hashem. Mechikas Hashem is the worst thing you can possibly do.
Hashem's name.
When you write Hashem's name, you have to first go to mikvah. Some seifrim, they skip all the shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Sefer Torah, and then they go to mikvah and they do tshuva and they fast, and then they write all of the shemos in one shot. Because writing the shame Hashem is serious business. If you write Hashem's name in the wrong place, you can't erase it. And if you can't rearrange the letters around the Shem Hashem, the words around the Shem Hashem, you have to basically discard the entire cloth, which is a lot of money, the whole thing, all of your work, and put it in Shemus. Because the Shem Hashem cannot be erased. Shalom is one of Hashem's names. So they went to the Sofer, they told the Sofer, there's a mistake in the Sefer Torah, the word Shalom is spelled with the full Vav, and it's supposed to be have a broken Vav. Can you please correct it by breaking the Vav? So the Sofer said, yeah, you're right, but you know, Shalom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't feel comfortable erasing part of Hashem's name. I don't want to do it. So he went to another Sofer. And every Sofer said the same exact thing. Yeah, you're right, but I don't want to do it. Go ask another Sofer. No one wanted to erase the Vav, part of the Vav, to break the Vav in the shame in the word Shalom, which is one of Hashem's names. So they went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and what should we do? So he said, no problem. Just tell the Sofer to thicken the Shin and the Lamid and the Mem, to add a little bit more ink on the bottom of those letters. You could extend the letter. And then, like, the Shin will be a little bit longer. The Lamed, make it a little thicken the width, whatever, thicken the, whatever, you can imagine,
the bottom,
because you want to make the Vav, thicken the Shin on the bottom, thicken the Lamed, the Mem, and then the Vav will no longer match the margin at the bottom of the Shin, Lamed, and the Mem. And then just add a little dot on the bottom there, right after the Vav, and then it'll be a Vav Ketua, it'll be a broken Vav, and everything will be fine. And that's what they did. So what is the Musa Haskell? The Musa Haskell is many times is Machloikas. It's big Machloikas. And you go to the two parties and you say, no, you want to make peace? Yeah, I'll make peace. But he has to give in. He has to be Moichik. He has to erase his sins.
You go to the other party. He has to erase his sins. Each party demands from the other party, if you want there to be peace, he has to make amends, not me. Sometimes the only way, and if you take that approach, you go from sefer to sefer, no one's going to want to erase anything. The only way you can make shalom, from shalom to shalem, is you have to add. You have to add. You have to be willing to give more to the other part. And when you add ahava, chesed, then you can go from shalom to shalem. Because the Vav Ketua represents shalem, a higher level of peace. Shalom is the lower level of peace where you need to have some type of object to bring the two together, like in this pasuk where we have the pot is making peace between the water and the fire. If you want to merge into one unit to go to the next level from shalom to shalem, you don't have to erase. You have to be moisef, ava, chesed, and that can bring it back. That's a Musar Haskaf Never. Let's go further. Yeah.
It's a nice drasha. There's an exception. and that's Soto. It says, Gadol HaShalom.
There are things you cannot there are times you cannot make peace. 100%. That there you're making peace by raising Hashem's name. Mechikas Hashem is done in order to bring peace between the husband and the wife. In Echanami. Okay, peace is a very difficult thing to understand. Absolutely. Look, we live in a war. The whole world is at war. I mean, what more do we want than that? Okay, let's go to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Hashem Elokeinu Be'alunu Adonim Zulosecha. Be'alunu means masters. Throughout our history, here we are reminiscing, at Tavi Yos HaMashiach, we are reminiscing our history, and we are complaining to Kadosh Baruch, we are, many nations have tried to be masters over us. You think only Egypt? Egypt was the first. Mitzrayim, Pesach was the first when we were slaves. Avodim Hayinu Lefarim Mitzrayim. But after we left Mitzrayim, we came to Eretz Yisrael, the Pelishtim tried to control us, all of the nations tried to, Ashur and Bavel, and then Modai and Paras and the Kasdim, and you go through the entire history, all the whole Chagadia, all the different nations. Many nations, Be'alunu Adonim Zulosecha. Zulosecha means besides you. They have tried to control us, masters, to prevail upon us, and to serve them, and not serve you, zulosecha, besides you, instead of you. But yet, although they've tried very hard, we can testify that levad gecho, only in you, nazkir shemecha, do we mention your name. Despite their attempts throughout our long history to take away your name from this our nation, they did not succeed. They have failed miserably. We always were loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, levad b'cha, only in you did we mention your name. We mention you. Now we come to Pasuk Yudal. Pasuk Yudal discusses their destruction. May sin, this really parallels the next pasuk. May sin bal yichyu, may their dead not come to life. Referring to the Rishayim, it's going to be a time that we're going to see now in the next psukim is going to be a mention of Tchiyas HaMeisim. This is one of the key psukim that teaches about Tchiyas HaMeisim in Nevi'im. The Gemara says, how do you know Tchiyas HaMeisim? The Gemara answers, it's in the Torah, it's in Nevi'im, and it's in Ksuvim. In the Torah we have Oz Yashir, then Moshe will sing of Vnei Yishol tomorrow's laning Yashib Loshen Osbe, Moshe will be resurrected and will sing Shirul Yasulavo. Where in the Nevi'im do you see Tchiyas HaMeisim? It's going to be these psukim that we're coming to in a few moments. That's the Gemara's answer. Mention of Tchiyas HaMeisim. But before we get to the Tchiyas HaMeisim for the Tzadikim, first Yeshaya prefaces the Bakasha or the mention by asking, reminding Hashem not to allow the wicked to come back to life at this point in time. May simbal yichyu, the dead, may they not come to life. Rifoim, Rifoim is another word for the dead. The dead, the reason why the dead is called Rifoim, because Resh Pei Aleph means to weaken. Rifoim means to weaken, illness. Well, it means to Rafui. Rafui means to loose and weak. The dead are the ultimate. They are the weakest creatures in the world because they have no power. So, Rifoim bal yokumu, may the dead not come, may they not arise. Lochein, therefore, pokadata, you have visited upon them. Pokadata means to remember. Sometimes there's a remembrance for good, and sometimes it's a remembrance for evil. Here it means Hashem, where at this point in time, you should remember. It's like Yiskar, but not a Yiskar for good. You shall remember the wicked for evil. Vat hashmidem, and may you destroy them. Vat abed kol zechalamu, and may it be destroyed, any remembrance of these evil people at this point in time. Yosafta lagoy Hashem, you have added. What have you added? Now this refers to, according to the Mitzudos, it refers to suffering. Rashi learns just the opposite, but let's look at the Mitzudos first. Yosafta, you have added to this nation. Let's see what Mitzudos. Yosafta, kol mashu yosafta liyaser amcha pamachapam. All this that you have added, lashon hafa, to chastise, to bring suffering upon your nation, time after time, al kol zeh, yet with all of this, hodu kivotcha, they have still given praise to your honor, v'lo moru b'chon, have now rebelled against you, v'av ki hir chaktam mimukaimam, even though you have distanced them from their land, that you have sent them into exile, l'leches gola b'chol kitzos aretz, to go into exile in all of the corners of the world, l'zoz mimcha, they have not departed from you. So here we go back with the pasuk according to the Mitzudos David, yosafta l'goy hazeh, yosafta l'goy nich, l'goy, you have added pain and suffering to this nation. He repeats himself, yosafta l'goy, you have added pain to the nation, but yet, nichbodita, they have still honored you. They have still continued to give you honor, even though we chakto kol katz eretz, even though despite the fact that you have distanced them into galus, in all corners of the earth, wherever you go, you'll always find Shabbat house. He'll always find a place where they'll give honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is how the Mitzvah learns the pasuk. Rashi learns a little bit of Rashi inside. Just the opposite. You have added to your nation Klal Yisrael Torah Ugedula V'chavot V'chol Kama Sheyasavtu Lachem, and every time you've given them greatness and honor, they have taken that and used it to give you honor Nichbadata V'chol Ma Sheyasavtu Lachem they thank and they praise they have given to you honor, they've always given honor to you in their difficult times. Okay, so that's how the Rashi learns the pasuk Yosafta l'goy hazeh, Yosafta l'goy nichbat, you have given greatness to the nation that has honored you. Even though we chakto kol katzvei aretz, even though you have distanced them to the ends of the earth, you have always given them honor in galus. It's a fascinating idea according to Rashi, and that's true. Jews in galus have thrived many times. They've thrived. They've risen to the highest positions of government and status. And what have they done with this? So unfortunately, we know that many times they've assimilated and they've gone off. But here Yeshayah is focusing on the good. You have to be an optimist sometimes. And many times they were makadei shem shemayim. How many times we see today, we have people that are shomer Torah mitzvos and they've accomplished incredible things. They win the Nobel Prize or they the chief of staff to the president. And what do? They're makadei shem shemayim b'farhesya. And it's a beautiful kiddush shem shemayim, and that is what Yeshayah here is referring to, according to Rashi, is you've given them gedula, and the gedula they have used is always in the times of galus, even though they've been rechak to the kol katzei aretz, and all of the honor that you've bestowed upon them, the success they've all used to channel for your honor. Okay, let's do one more pasuk. Hashem batzar tikoduch Hashem, in pain tikoducha, we have remembered you. Tzokun lachash musar cholama. At times of tzara, what has been the Jewish response to tzara, to trouble? Tfilah. We have prayed to you. And that's here. Let's read the pesukim backwards. Let's take one at a time. Tzokun means to pour. Lachash means to whisper. The two words together mean to pray. When one pours out words that are whispered, it means to pray. Musar cholamo means when Hashem has brought pain, musar, chastisement, affliction, suffering, lomo upon them. When the Jewish people have been recipients of tsar, their response was tsokun lachash, to pour out to Hashem with prayer. And the beginning of the pasuk parallels the end of the pasuk. Hashem batsar, at times of pain, distress, pikoducha, your people have remembered you. They didn't say, oh, we have trouble, we're excused from tefillah, from Torah. Just the opposite. At times of tzara, that's when they remembered HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they came to the Beis HaKnesses, the Beis Medrash, to be mispalel and to learn, to do tshuva, to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this theme is repeated twice in the Pasuk. Hashem batzar, at times of tzar, pikoducha, your people have remembered you and they have come to you with tefillah. And the Pasuk repeats itself, tzakun lachash, musarcho lamo, at the time of musarcho, where you, lamo, you put upon them musar, tzakun, they poured out with, to you with prayer. Okay, we'll stop here.